Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. As BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to News National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours, welcome back, National Talk Black, have you say, and yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, I'm going to jump straight into it and have a deadly yarn with Jimmy Kyle, Chasing Ghosts, lead singer and chief songwriter. NAM Aboriginal-led indie punk band Chasing Ghosts announced their new album. Album is going to be on with Jimmy Kyle to talk about that deadly album, and we have Jimmy on the line. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, brother. How you going?
I'm very good, my brother. Where are you based, Jim?
We moved to Launceston. Launceston. In Tasmania.
All right, brother. And before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, brother.
Yeah, deadly.
So let the people know, brother. Who you mob? Where you from, brother? I'm asking. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Sorry, my brother.
All good.
Sorry, I'm a proud Thungari man from the mid-north coast of New South Wales, but then my galang, she's from Lutruwita here in Tasmania, and so we had a little beautiful dulai together only six months ago, and that meant I relocated from Melbourne, from NAM, down to Tasmania. So I'm in what they, in Palawakani, they call it Kalamaluka, but they down here, the Gabbas, or what you call up there, Migaloos, down here, they call it, they call it Launceston.
Launceston.
Yeah, so I've sort of been burst into Tasmanian black culture in the last couple of years. It's been wild.
Good, beautiful, beautiful. So Chasing Ghosts, that's the band. How long's Chasing Ghosts been running for, brother? Give us a bit of background.
Look, it started out over a decade ago, more than a decade ago, and it was a solo project for the first couple of records, and then a band developed around it, and, you know, that's sort of the last couple of releases, last couple of records have had a band around it. And
yes.
Drummer, he's a Koori fella, he's a Japurang and Gunai Kurnai fella, and he's joined the band, and that's kind of cool to have another brother in the band. And then, you know, the non-Indigenous fellas in my band, they've come on this big journey themselves, to sort of understand everything. So they're pretty staunch allies. So, yeah, there's five of us cruising around now.
Fantastic, brother. And let's talk about this new single. Confirm the pronunciation, My Bingai.
Close, brother. Bingai, we say. And Bingai is like, it's a bit like Bunji, you know.
Bunji.
Yeah, very similar. So Bingai is like, everyone uses it for brother, but sort of proper ways, it's actually like your big brother in that when you're learning them cultural things, you know, that fellow that makes sure that you're acting right and being right. So that's sort of, we all use it as brother today, but yeah, it's got those old serious connotations to it. So
beautiful.
Bit like Bunji.
Fantastic. And you look at this beautiful big island, brother, Australia, and we talk about the 200 different tribal mob, and then even the Torres Straits, a beautiful mob of the Torres Straits, which I'm half of. And when you look at Bingai up there in the Torres Straits, that means like strong head or Nugud head, you know, like Dunsika, so to speak, you know.
There's probably connections between
exactly.
those words.
Exactly, yeah. No, fantastic. So how was My Bingai, how was it inspired, brother?
Well, it was coming. It came about from yarns, like with different brother boys, just and even some non-Indigenous fellas and some Maori brothers, and just men from all different walks of life. And there were yarns around sort of domestic violence, and I think there's a lot of shame and, you know, and women have been asking in Australia, you know, for men to speak up and to talk out. And my sort of idea is really just to encourage younger men that are escalating behaviour, that they can change, that we don't have to have that in the house, that we can, we don't have to pass on the trauma, even if we were raised in it, you know, we can make different choices, but you do have to have that help, and it's up to older men and brothers and uncles and fathers that we rally around our men to help them change and become those men that we know they can be and get that stuff out of the house, because that's not our way.
Exactly.
And it never has been our way. And ever since, you know, Gavars bring their colonial violence here, that's what, that's where the violence has come into our community. And that's where it's for generations been impacting people. And now it's time for us to let go of that and to have our children raised where they know. And it's not just a message for mob about violence. It's in the mainstream community. It's everywhere in this
country.
Of course
it is.
From all, you know, wealthy areas, they do the same things to the poor areas. It doesn't matter what ethnic group it is. It's generally, as men, we struggle to articulate ourselves and use them words to express our feelings, and we're going into these behaviours that are the wrong behaviours. So it's a song about not forgetting that you've made things before as a man, that you can be something in your family and not tear your family down. Go get that professional help. Go speak to someone.
Yeah.
And even if it's starting with speaking with your uncles or if it's speaking with other brothers, but we got to change that behaviour. It's not acceptable, and we all know that. But getting ourselves to that place where we can change, that's what I want to just fan that flame, you know. Let's get that change happening.
Well, brother, we are storytellers, First Nation people, and use whatever vehicle out there, whether we song, dance, you know, art, and here you are using music as the vehicle for yourself to, brother, tell the story. But it's also an educator, a bridge builder, you could say. Very important, brother.
Yeah. Well, you know, like nearly every family in Australia at some point has these things happen. In their family story, you know, we all know those stories, and it's not about trying to shame people. That's not going to make anything any better. What it's about is really getting us to turn up as our best self as men.
Love it.
And,
yes.
and be the fathers we want to be, and be the brothers and the sons that we want to be. And yeah, my bingo is just about not giving up. Go get that help.
Yeah, fantastic, brother. So, Whitten, I believe you're doing a road trip as well, and you're supporting Clay J. Gladstone in March next month. And so we're talking Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide. And not an opportunity to come far north, Cairns, no?
I would love to. I would love to, because there's a band up there, Water Street, that I really keep an eye on all the time. And I want to come see those guys and hang out. But I would definitely love to get up to Cairns. But unfortunately on this run, But I'm stoked that you guys are always supporting me. Thank you so much.
No, too deadly, brother. And we're about to play my bingo now. So thank you for sharing. And it's a great yarning with you. Big shout out to your team there, the band mob there, Chasing Ghosts.
Thank you.
And keep doing what you do, my brother. Keep in touch and break a leg, they say, eh?
Yeah, too deadly. Thanks, Trevor. Everyone, this is my bingo. I enjoy it.
Too deadly. Thanks, bro. Bye-bye.
Thanks, son.
Uncomfortable. I've tried to say this in a million ways. She called us scared. We wouldn't have turned her away. She's not your therapy. Don't seem happy at all. I'm not your enemy. Put your hands in your pockets and walk. Cause my brother, oh brother, don't put your hands on her. My binger, I beg you, remember, your hands have made things before. Change, and we can say the hard things softly spoken.
put your hands on her. My banger, I beg you, remember, your hands have made things before. Cause my brother, my brother, oh brother, don't put your hands on.
National Talk Black.
Find a lover in a bummer that will never break your heart. So good to you, I'll never give you up. On my way, I'll come and get you in my car. That's the first thing I wanna do. Ain't gonna tease ya, do things you never knew I'd do to ya. Straight from my heart, feel my love. No matter where you are the one for me. Well, it's a come, baby, here I come, come. You're undercover lover, not a baller on the run. Don't mess with the rest, get distressed, my queen. I'll be your candy delight, if you know what I mean. I saw you standing there with a smile like Cinderella. I wondered if you kick it with a fine young brella like me. So tell me, do I pass the test? Cause this bottle's coming at you above
man,
all the
I'm
rest.
Man, I'm an Ali. Almore is gay. Curry alarm. Kotaka Mer, Kotaka Mer Kareem. Mena Manali, Marim Natagri. My love, I need you. Honest, I do. Now that I'm leaving, all of my thoughts, they will be of you. Remembering the love that used to be. Please come back to me, darling, I need you. My love, I need you. Honest, I do. Mena Manali. Amor is gay. Kari alam. Kotaka mer, kotaka mer, Kareem. Mena Manali, Marim Natagri. My love, I need you. Honest, I do. Manali, Almore is gay, Kari alam, Kotaka mer, Kari. Mena Manali, Marim Natagri. My love, I need you. Honest, I do. Now that I'm leaving, all of my thoughts, they will be of you. Remembering the love that used to be. Please come back to me, darling, I need you. My love, I need you. Honest, I do.
We trip all up, when did you make it? Girl, will you? No, no, baller, you take him. I wanna take him, but him look Brazil. Him got face, so says it's so Brazil. Hey, look up, are you no make it this kind? I go mother, try him, baller, one time. Try him, look up, I might him, come on.
ife angono ki yugo mata gedean. Kole ate from kese all kind gama. A chicken go ase gedean from ama. If I get a white one, I'ma no like. I'm old and thick skin mask got blight. I go get a black girl, I'ma okay. If I can't find a one, I'ma which way? What am I gonna do? I go stop this time. I'ma go lose it, call them, I go lose mine. I go kiss it, come away, you go look me dance. Bala, you can beat me, you got no sense. If I let go get now, don't try for beating me. Cause I go mother tell you, make it swap a see. Find a lover in a bala that will never break your heart. So pretty up, I'll never give you up. On my way, I'll come and get you in my car. That's the first thing I wanna do. I gonna teach ya, do things you never knew I do to ya. Straight from my heart, feel my love. No matter where you are the one for me. Well, it's a come, baby, here I come. Come, you're undercover lover, not a brother on the run. Don't mess with the rest, get distressed, my queen. I'll be your candy delight, if you know what I mean. I saw you standing there with a smile like Cinderella. No wonder if you could...
here, I'm more than a midwife. I'm a lifeline for new mums.
Being a nurse means healing, but it's also about connection.
As a health worker, I'm here to help my mum access the care they need.
As a GP, I help our people stay strong and healthy.
We might have different roles,
but we've got one purpose.
Making a difference for our mum. Visit health.gov.au/primary healthcare careers and start your career in health today.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide and listen. See it. Be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
You're listening to National Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Here I am, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, let's talk comedy. Let's talk laughter. You know Black Pala Bronx do that to Delhi, but we have to get it all in order in regarding, well, be lawyer first, then become a comedian. That's the yarn for our next brother we're going to talk to, Balat Leon Filewood, and he's with me in the studio. Leon, good morning. How are you, brother?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, good, thank you.
Yeah, brother, good to see you. Before we start, Balat, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, thank you. My mob, I'm from the Torres Strait there, Ugaramle, Mualgal, Italgal, Karreg, and my Aboriginal ancestry from far north Queensland, Gugumini, Gugalangi, and Gitamay.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Big shout out to your mob. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So no matter where we go, whatever we do in life, we black man first. And you know when you're black man there, well, you got them comms, brother. You got the mock that going on. Like we mockologists, you know, we're professionals in that field, brother. Well, you're professional as a lawyer, but slash a natural black comedian. So that's who you are. Let's talk about your journey. Black comedian since the day you were born, and then became a lawyer. So tell us your journey, how it all came about, my brother.
Yeah, in terms of becoming a lawyer or?
Lawyer, let's start with that,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, I actually started with, so I grew up on Thursday Island, so Wyburn there, Karreg country up there, to TI.
Mm.
And I was from a very young age. My grandmother actually was a councillor on Torres Strait Council, Lolly Filewood, yeah. And, you know, politics was a very common thing that was yarned about at her kitchen table or at her dining room table.
Yeah, and this is your auntie?
This is my grandmother.
My grandmother, my apologies.
My father's mother, yeah. No,
okay,
yeah.
Lovely, yeah, brother.
And, from a very young age, I was always, you know, interested in politics. And you know, we had leaders at that time like Uncle Pedro Stephen, Uncle John O. Bendigo, Uncle Katana Louie. And, I always remember saying to my grandmother, you know, I'm gonna go away and get a big, you know, good education.
Mm.
And I'm going to come back and I want to be, you know, a leader in the community too. I was inspired by them and obviously my grandmother.
Yes.
And she said, and so there was a promise to her. And I looked around, I thought, oh, what sort of education you got to have to, you know, be a leader? And I looked at the parliamentarians, people sitting in parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are lawyers or were lawyers, you know. So I thought, well, that's what I got to do.
Okay.
But being a TI binger, you know, being a clown from back up home there, it seemed a bit far-fetched.
Yep.
But that fire was already in my belly and I was determined. So I made it a reality. It took me a little while. I didn't pass uni with flying colors. I struggled. I failed subjects, but I never gave up.
So where'd you finish your senior school?
I stayed on TI. I did all my education on TI.
Grade 12,
yeah,
finished
grade 12.
Yep.
And
then, HSC, yep.
Yep, and then I went to move from Thursday Island to Brisbane and did a year there at a TAFE. So I did Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Justice Studies.
Okay.
For a year, and then I actually was planning to go and try and get into customs, but at that time it was very hard to get into customs, different now.
Mm. How long ago are we talking, brother?
Yeah, good question. That was about 1997.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, 97. So while I was there, there was two lecturers at the TAFE, and they were just studying law, two Miglu fellas.
Mm.
And they said, we think you got the smarts enough to go to law school. And I thought,
colleague will motivate you, inspire you.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, so I was like, but I didn't believe them. But then, you know, they kept saying it over that course of a year, and then I thought, oh, well, I'll apply anyway, see if I can get in. And I applied and I got in. It was university. I went to QUT, Queensland University of Technology, there at Gardens Point in Brisbane. And, it was coming as an island boy and being in the big city, you know, your eye open for all kind of thing, you know, nightclub, you know, girls and all them kind of thing. Well, that's silly business. But, you know, when you're a young man, that's the sort of thing that gets on your mind. But, you know, regardless of all that, I was determined to get my degree because I didn't want to go home without it. You know, everybody knew.
Sure.
It's exactly. Probably going to go study there.
You know, like, well, you've been opening your big mouth. You've got to perform now. Big note yourself. Big note your crack.
Big note true. Big note your crack. You've got to follow through now.
That's right.
But, I did. And, you know, I made it a little bit hard because halfway through I end up having a baby. So I was a very young fella. Mm. I was 21, turning 22, and my son was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was right in the middle of law school. So... And even though I separated from his mother, I still had him 1 week on, 1 week off, you know.
Sure, which makes it hard for the study platform.
Yeah, very hard, very challenging. But I had support. I had loving, supporting families and people that would look after Bob. And, you know, even though I'd separated, we were still a team, you
sure,
know, me
beautiful.
And my son's mother.
Beautiful.
So
yes.
But, yeah, I don't suggest doing uni that way. But
no, sure.
I just share that because, you know, that wasn't going to stop me. And, you know, look back now and I'm grateful that didn't, you know.
Mm.
What I mean? So,
well, the old phrase is not what happens to you in life, it's how you respond to it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Life goes on and you're going to make some other plans if that's the case, detours, what have you.
Yep.
But you mentioned family there and support of family.
Yeah.
And we black people belongs to that.
Yep.
And like we claim our 10th cousin like a true brother. Yeah, true brother. Yeah, they've got
true brother.
Especially on his payday. Yeah, shut up. But we make sure that foundation is strong. You
yeah.
know?
Yep.
Which gives you the the strong platform for you to go ahead and continue with your studies to become
exactly.
a lawyer, which was the goal.
Yep. 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 So it's always like they say, it takes a village. Eh? So
wow.
It definitely did.
Mm. So did you, what are we talking, 4 years study to become a lawyer?
It's 4 years if you do straight law. I don't know if you can do straight law now, but it takes 4 years. But if I'm being very honest, it took me 6 years.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Because I didn't study the full four units every semester. I studied three because I couldn't manage everything. I couldn't do what I need to do in terms of being successful at university and look after Bob, and I was working part-time as well. So there's a
message there for our brothers and sisters who are listening in. Yeah, get on the journey. Beginning's half done. Have that in mind.
Mm.
But if things happen, life happens. And when life happens, just be adaptable or, you know, put it on the shelf, or so to speak, or work around it.
That's right.
Just to keep focused on the goal, which is what you did, Bala.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, but it was, you know, there was still a bit of shame job there because people were like, oh, you're taking forever, you're taking too long. But I just had to run my own race, you know. Like,
exactly.
And the main thing was to get to the finish line, which I did. So when I look back and I think about all them brothers and sisters and friends and go, are you still studying that law? How long are you going to take?
Yeah.
You know, that I felt shame every time someone said something like that. But I had to do, I knew why I was doing it and I wasn't going to give up on my
reason. And you got to do you.
Yeah.
Don't do anybody else, Bala. Don't do you, yeah. How you say, yeah? With the end in mind, there is focus, run it, keep doing it, whatever, you know, Bala. But like the dates that we set our goals for don't always come true on the date that we set it for. So we just reset the date.
That's
reset the date till finally it will come true on the date that we set it for. You know what I mean?
That's it.
I mean, like, if you're not happy where you are, change, you're not a tree.
Mm.
I always say, my Bala, life is simple, people complicate it. Do not complicate it and run your race and message I'm picking up from you, and I hope our daily listeners out there are picking that up. Look at that man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror.
That's
and
it.
Just be true to that person,
yep.
You know? So there it is, 6 years then.
Yeah, 6 years, yeah. It was a slog.
And then which, did you major in a part in law?
No, you don't really major.
You don't?
Yeah, you get to choose electives around what you're interested in. So I definitely did that. But there's no particular major with law. Mm.
Okay, fair enough. Brilliant. And so when you graduated, did you go straight into the law?
Yeah.
Did you practice?
Yeah, practice straight out of law. But see, the thing is, because I'd failed, my GPA wasn't great. And so when you're looking, when you get to that last year and everyone's talking about where you're going to go, you've got all them real smart ones going, oh, they're going to go to the big law firms, you know?
Mm.
And then everyone else that don't necessarily have a great
score.
You got to look for, you know? So I ended up having to go from Brisbane out to a little town called Dalby.
Dalby?
Which is it's about an hour west of Toowoomba.
Yes.
And so I was there with a small law firm there. Yeah,
family law firm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how long did you stay there for?
I was there for 3 years, just shy of 3 years, and I started practicing law in criminal law and family law, so that's where I started it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. So a smaller firm, small township, is your put your skates on, learn the process.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
We are students for life,
mm-hmm.
and there he was as a qualified lawyer, but still learning the ropes.
That's right.
And a good place to learn.
Yeah.
So you would have picked up good schools there, and made good friendships, and that firm, you know the name firm?
The firm doesn't exist anymore. They end up getting bought out by Shine Lawyers, but it was Shannon Donaldson Province Lawyers.
Okay, big shout out.
Yeah, Shannon Donaldson. Yeah, so Peter Shannon and Adair Donaldson.
Okay, and how many lawyers were in there?
Oh, there would have been about, I think, five or six of us. And then we
and
had
of course, you're the first black one in there.
I would have been the only black one there.
So, yeah. Of course, they would have been Indigenous friendly to take you on board.
Yeah, well, I believe so. They didn't, I was very grateful for that, my first job. Peter Shannon and, Adair Donaldson. They're still around. I think Peter might have retired now, but Adair is still.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. So you did 3 years there, and then what happened there? Tell us your story,
then
brother.
It was a global financial crisis, so that was like in GFC. 1997. Yeah, GFC. So there was a big demand for insolvency lawyers.
I say GFD, Global Financial Disaster.
True, eh? they were looking for insolvency lawyers. So insolvency is when a company goes bankrupt. So if you as a person go bankrupt, well, you're bankrupt. It's, that's bankruptcy. But if it's a company, that's why they call it insolvency. Insolvency is ultimately when a company can't afford to pay its bills when they fall due.
Yep.
So because of the financial crisis, they were looking big demand for junior insolvency lawyers. And what happens is in law, if you start in crime and family, you can't jump into commercial law. You can't. It's too hard.
Sure.
But because of that opportunity, they were keen to take anyone. So
gotcha.
I knew someone who was a big law firm, so a top 10 law firm.
Where, Sydney?
In Brisbane. Gayden's Lawyers.
Mm.
So they had a very deadly Indigenous program, Gayden's Lawyers. They still do.
Okay.
And one of the first law firms in Australia to look to invest and educate and bring up our people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So they were looking for young insolvency lawyers, and someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, come here, we'll take you on. And so I went there and I was with them for 3 years, and I worked in insolvency, bankruptcy and commercial litigation. So that was all
cool.
Yeah, it was really cool stuff, yeah.
Prepare yourself for the opportunity. Mm. The opportunity will present itself.
Yep.
And that's what happened.
That's what happened.
Fantastic, brother. So how long did you stay there for?
Yeah, 3 years. I was there for 3 years. Working, but see, the thing is, when you work in those big law firms, it's hard, Jacka. You're working 12, 13 hour, 14 hour days.
Exactly. Yeah.
You go to work and it's nighttime, you go home, it's nighttime, you go home, you get sleep for 5 hours, you come back again.
Exactly, exactly. So they virtually own your life, you could say, and that's the vehicle you're driving.
Yep.
And there it is, So in that journey, here we are to your daily listeners out there just tuned in. Trinity Trev here, Murray from Recovery with your daily program, National Talk Black, having a daily yarn with Buller Leon Filewood, black comedian lawyer. We're talking about his journey. Lawyer firm. We haven't got into the black comedy, but we all know he belongs to that. We belongs to that because we've got mock anywhere, I always say to my brother there, we got that mock anywhere, whichever way we go. We could be at funeral. Coffin there going around, that brother still owe me 50, he's just dodging me. we got that mock, no matter where it is. Good ways, So for you daily mob tuned in, Leon Fylde, we're telling his story, lawyer. So in that, let's see, 3 years out of Dalby, 3 years in Brisbane, there you're working. Was the comedy came to the surface at that time in those 6 years as a lawyer, or was it always in the background, or did you have the vision to become a comedian?
No, it was always in the back of my mind, like growing up and seeing like Seinfeld, because you watch that show, Seinfeld, at the beginning, is that he does like 60 seconds of like a set, you know what I mean? So that used to intrigue me. I was like, man, this is so funny. And I used to
inspired by that.
Yeah, and then you obviously.
Show about nothing.
Yeah, nothing, that's true. And then you got, Eddie Murphy with his, Roar and Delirious. That was, and then you realize, they're having a joke, but they're saying stuff as well.
Message.
There's messages.
Delivering a message about life
subtext.
Or whatever. Subtext, yes.
So I always felt it was always appealing, but I never had the guts to do comedy. I just always parked it. And then what happened was when I got to a certain point in my legal career, I was looking to start my own little firm. And before you do that, you've got to go and do this practice management course that gives you the certificate to go out on your own. But I couldn't, if I'm being honest, and vulnerable, I just couldn't do it. I just didn't understand it. I didn't understand the financial side. And I thought, to save face, if I walk away from this, because this is embarrassing, I have to do something else that's equally hard or something that I wanted to do, but I feel like I can't do.
Okay. That's a nice way of looking at it.
Yeah. So I didn't,
because everything we want in life, Leon, Bala, is outside our comfort zone. So you've got to get uncomfortable to get comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there it is, to step, from getting into business, lawyer, what have you. Well, I always say this as well, a lawyer, even if you did apprenticeship as a mechanic, and 4 years later you're a qualified mechanic, now you want to go and open your own business, go in opposition to your boss. But you're not a business person. You still got to study business, how to drive a business. You're good at the tools because you're a qualified mechanic or lawyer. But how do you run a business?
That's it.
So that is a hurdle, you could say.
Absolutely. And like when I was looking at a business from a business perspective as well, I'm thinking, I got no capital. You know, I don't have skin in the game. Like, I don't know anything about business and all the rest of it. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I pray, you know, I was praying and I was like, Lord, I need a business where, you know, I'm the product, I'm the service, and there's no big overheads and all the rest of it. And then at the same time, I was saying to myself, okay, if I'm not going to do
this. That's a good business mind.
Yeah, well, that's, well.
like the foundation of a business. You know, overheads, you know.
And so that I was praying that on the one hand, and then when I realized I didn't want to finish that, or I couldn't finish that practice management course, I said, okay, well, the other thing that I want to do, but I can't, I feel like I can't do, is become a comedian. So if I walk away from this law firm idea, then I have to do that. And then, like you said, come with the sort of, you know, the teacher, come with the, you know, come with the student, come with the teacher, whichever way you want to say it. And
When the student's ready, teacher will arrive.
Exactly. And Deadly Funny. So Deadly Funny is a platform from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Okay.
So they run that platform, and it's to help black fellas get into stand-up comedy. And there was, so exactly around the time where I was going, like, I got to walk away from this, I saw the, like, literally within days, I saw the ad for Deadly Funny that was going to be at Anala at City Point Church.
Yep.
And there was going to be a two-hour workshop where you work with a professional comedian, and then you do the show that same night. So I thought, well, look here now. I've said I've got to walk, and here it is. So I went, I took time off work, and I went and did that workshop. Andy Saunders was the comedian.
Yes.
And did that 2 hours.
Big shout out, Andy Saunders.
Brother, he's deadly. He's very, very funny and very smart man. So he was there, and I had some jokes that I wanted to workshop. We did that with him over 2 hours, me and brother Kyle and Amber, my name Maggie Walsh, and another brother. It was only us four. And I said to him, brother, I don't want to do that show this afternoon. I just want to do this workshop for these jokes. And then he come after, and he goes, look, there's only four of you. Community are coming. They're expecting a show. Like, you're going to have to perform, brother.
Thrown in the deep end.
Yeah, he was with that peer pressure, And then he's a big fella too, so he's a little bit intimidating. So I was okay, well, I'll... And he said, you're right, you got this, just do it. And so...
He'd be rail you into get on the stage, jump in your career.
So when we did that workshop and then had an hour break and then we got on stage, then myself and brother Kyle and Ambram, and he's a comedian as well, and Honey Maggie Walsh, she's a master of all kind of things, she's a comedian too.
Wow.
And another brother, I forget Leonard's last name, but anyway... did the workshop and got on and did the show, and I just did a 3-minute set, and I loved it.
Loved it.
It was
magic. You were where you meant to be.
Yeah. I believe that. Yeah.
But like, some of your ancestors already got your life written out. You subby for that rallying from the Bala there pushed you there, and here you are.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you met the likes of Shawnee Chulbra, of course, and Kevin Cropper-Prinier.
Yeah, I've toured with them fellas. Yeah.
Well, there you
they're
go.
They're my mentors. Yeah.
Beautiful, and that's what it's all about, you know, brother.
Yeah.
So yeah, so here you are, lawyer slash black comedian. So you did a gig here the other night here in Cairns.
Friday night, yeah.
Yeah, Friday night, fantastic. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Hence I called you in here to have a yarn and talk about your journey. I always say we need more black successes in this country, not only on the football field. So good to see you up there and shake a leg with comedy, you know. So look, fantastic, brother. So you're still working as a lawyer on the side?
No, I stepped away from the law. I stepped away. I mean, it's something that I can always go back
to. So you got a
to.
J-O-B?
Yeah. I work full-time as a senior consultant in stakeholder engagement for a large global company. It's an Aussie company, but they're global, called GHD.
GHD, all right. Yeah. Big shout-out, GHD.
Big shout-out to GHD. Yeah, love GHD. Love working at GHD. Love the work that I do there. So my job is senior consultant in stakeholder engagement, but focusing on First Nations and community engagement. So if there's a big project, whether it's a renewable energy project, whether it's an infrastructure project, my job is
to
come in
and bridge builder.
Yeah, advise the clients around proper engagement, you know, and make sure that the voices of traditional custodians and community are being heard. And so it's really a facilitation piece and making sure, you know, that, you know, and our clients are often, you know, government or private developers and whatnot, making sure that they're going to community with the right cultural sensitivities yes. and the right yes. frameworks
and
in
right
terms
protocol
of engagement.
And everything like yeah. so. Beautiful, fantastic. So there you are, working that, the JOB, we always say just off broke, but you've got to pay the bills,
true.
operate the job, and then you feed the golden goose, lays the golden egg, and turn your finance or your money, the mule that you go pick up there from your JOB, and invest it in the space of black comedy.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing, you know? Yep. So you can spin a couple of plates there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one serves the other, to be honest, like, because my yes. job and what I'm doing, my work gives me a platform to educate and to help people understand blackfellas and the way we do and the way we Good. Are, you know? So, and then I get to do that on stage through comedy.
Through
know?
Comedy.
Like, most of my audiences are white.
Sure.
So I get an opportunity.
So there's the educational vehicle
yeah.
you have in your hands.
Yeah.
There's cultural awareness at its max
yeah.
in the most mocking way. You know what I mean? But... comedy is humor.
Yes.
Humor is good medicine. Yep. Humor is a good vehicle.
Yep.
And that's how you portray it.
Yep, absolutely.
Too dearly, my brother. Leon, good yarning with you. I was so fired up seeing you on stage. You fired me up, and then I look at your delivery as an educated man, a black man at that, and then you got the mock on top of that. You know, I saw your delivery as an educational tool, but highly educated, but also bring it back to layman's term if you wanted to do that. But it's a nice sandwich that you create as you hand the sandwich out to the people as they go make a koi koi, you know what I mean? And the message is dropped, you know, like we are storytellers, we black people. And if you can tell that story in the educational way, in the comedy way, in the fun way, you being lawyer / black comedian, that is good ingredient, I would say, my brother.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm a fan, brother. I always have Shawnee Chilbury yarning with me all the time on this bloody thing here, and he always got mock.
Yeah.
I will say, Shawnee Chilbury, you big dot, I'm having a beautiful conversation with another black comedian here, and it's a two-way conversation, not someone just leading the conversation. Shawnee Chilbury, love you, my brother.
I love Shawnee.
Yeah, too deadly, brother. So then you also they put you in a position of black comedian comedy, but also MC jobs as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a five-pronged spear, you could say, my brother.
Yeah, yeah. And I love doing all that stuff, you know. I love performing for mob. I love getting in front of people, yeah.
Sure. So if people want to engage in you, how do they contact you, my brother?
They can reach me through, you know, there's I'm on social media. So if you look up Leon Farwood on Facebook, I've got a page there, a comedy page, same as Instagram. And then professionally, I'm on LinkedIn as well.
So. LinkedIn as well. Okay, yeah. Leon is L-E-O-N and Farwood, F-I-L-E-W-O-O-D.
Yep.
There it is, your mob. So reach out to the brother if you want comedy or if you want a serious conversation about law, L-A-W, you can talk to that brother. And look, fantastic. Let's support this brother, and that's what it's all about. And thank you for your yarn, my brother.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. Please keep in touch.
Yep.
And also let Bama Bipper know whenever you're performing, whatever, so we can let the people know where they can catch up with you.
I've got Adelaide coming up soon, so I'll be in Adelaide next week performing.
There you go. Okay, so repeat that. Adelaide next week.
Adelaide Fringe Festival next week. I'm performing from Tuesday the 4th until Sunday the 9th.
Okay.
So,
beautiful.
Yeah, if you're in Adelaide, come.
Adelaide.
I'd love you to come.
Is that
see
your next gig you are coming up?
Yeah.
Anything after that in the near future?
Yeah, I'll be at Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Melbourne from the 27th of March until the 6th of April.
Okay.
And then I'm in Sydney from the 16th of May until the 19th of May.
All right.
May.
Beautiful. Yeah. There it is. So date claim is your mob. Come and see the brother in action. Let's support each other. The old phrase. High tide rises all ships. We need to get it together, together, you mob. Too deadly, one yarn. Too deadly, Leon Ballet. Yeah. All the best, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn with deadly, funny man and highly educated man. That's Leon Farwood, black comedian / lawyer. And look, I was lucky enough to see the brother perform here in Cairns. And look, he was so deadly. And he's still working. He did mention GHD, the company he's working for. And loving that job, but also now created a vehicle on the side as in black comedy. And, you know, we belong to that, you mob, so do check it out. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country, BBM Bumbaribrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, you mob.
Up in the sky, so far away, There is a place for everyone. Moon and the stars, they always shine out on that ocean wave. And as the lazy wave rolls by, breeze is blowing memories. Oh yes, yes, somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea, it's always the same to me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wong Ai Tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Bay? Any place and just around by Mario Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wong Ai Tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Bay? Any place and just around by Mario Bay? Are you from TI?